This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Pennsylvania and its election process is always in the national spotlight, and the state's current technology is outdated and about to be replaced. But there are risks. To learn more, we turn to Heather Honey. She is Executive Director of the Election Research Institute. Heather, we're going to talk about where Pennsylvania's Department of State is going, and you can even explain why the Department of State is involved what they do. But tell us a bit about the election platform, the election process that Pennsylvania has used up until this point.
Right now, Pennsylvania is operating a proprietary system. It's the Statewide Uniform Registry of Electors, or people refer to it as the SURE system. And the SURE system was developed in-house, internally, after the Help America Vote Act was passed, which mandated that every state had to have a single uniform statewide computer system for voter registration. Prior to that, different counties had different systems. Some counties were doing it on paper. And so the mandate was to sort of update and modernize. And so HAVA, of course, HAVA was after the Hanging Chads situation. So the idea was to modernize the system, and the mandate was to have every state create a single uniform integrated computer system. And so that was what prompted Pennsylvania to start the development of this SURE system. Now, the beginnings of this started sometime in late 2002, again after HAVA passed. It was developed on, like I said, in-house. So unlike what we're doing right now, where they're going out and they're trying to buy like off-the-shelf programs from vendors, instead, what Pennsylvania did is that they built it in-house, right? So they leveraged sort of existing infrastructure. I think they had to like purchase servers and stuff like that. And then every county had a designated workstation that was all connected to that. So the system was like operational, I think, by 2003, 2004. There was like a staggered rollout, so some counties came online before others. But ultimately, by 2004, all of the counties were connected and using these designated workstations. So let's use that as like the starting date, right? So 2004, the estimates of what it cost for Pennsylvania to build this system in-house was somewhere in the neighborhood of like $3 million initially. In 2003 dollars. And the system has served Pennsylvania well since then. And so I guess overall, like my initial question would be kind of like, why didn't we just redesign something internally? Probably would have cost less money, been more secure, that kind of thing. But that's where we are right now. Obviously, a 20-year-old computer system has some, there have been many upgrades to it over the years, but it is a 20-year-old system as it was built. And so based on that, the department decided in 2019, actually, that they needed to replace the entire system.
So we have this older system. It was in effect, as you pointed out, Heather, for 2024. Your organization, the Election Research Institute, has monitored elections here. Pennsylvania, of course, a battleground state, so pretty much everybody was monitoring our election last year. In your view, how did Pennsylvania perform in terms of efficiency and accuracy in 2024? It seemed at the outset like it went better than it did in 2020, but did it do well?
I think that there were some significant changes between 2020, when I think that most people, objective people, would agree that it was somewhat of a debacle. But there were a lot of changes, a lot of improvements between 2020 and 2024 from an overall election administration standpoint. And one of the most significant changes was actually Act 88, which required counties to do a few things. So if you remember, Act 88 was Pennsylvania's like Zuckerbuck's van, where they said no private funding in elections. But in exchange for that, in our divided government, there was a negotiated agreement where the counties would get grants from the state in exchange for some election administration compliance. So number one, they had to report, well, they had to first start counting absentee ballots and not stop, right? So they had to begin the counting, and there could be no interruption. So you're not going to have a 2 o'clock in the morning, we're going to stop counting, we'll come back tomorrow morning. Once they started counting at 7 a.m. on election day, the mail and the absentee ballots, that had to continue without interruption until they were done. I think that that was a huge improvement, because all of this, like, stopping and starting, there were lots of reports about issues around that. But more importantly, every county, if they wanted the grant funding, they were required to, by midnight on election day, report the total number of absentee ballots that they had received. So they didn't have to have them counted by then, but they had to say, hey, this is how many we received by the 8 p.m. deadline. So that put a cap on kind of like how many ballots could enter into the system. And I think that was a really significant improvement here in terms of election administration. Now, as it relates to the SHORE system, though, let's keep in mind that voting systems are not related to the SHORE system. And that's intentional, right? Because the SHORE system is our statewide voter registration system. And because we vote anonymous, when you go to vote, you check in either on a paper poll book, right? Make sure your name is in the poll book, or on an electronic poll book. And that's the end of where you are an individual, because then you're going to get your ballot and you are going to vote it and you're going to put it into the voting machines anonymously. So they cannot tie back any ballot in a voting machine back to a voter. So, you know, when you talk about how did the SHORE system work in 2024, it's sort of apples and oranges, right? But the SHORE system for its purposes in the election, right? The SHORE system is where we generate those paper poll books, right? So if you go to vote in a polling place that has those big binders with all those papers, those poll books, or district registers, as they're called in the election code, are printed from the voter registration system or the SHORE system. Counties that have implemented this electronic poll book, you know, where you're checking in on, like, basically what looks like an iPad, those are loaded from the SHORE system. So in terms of how did that work for us in the election, I didn't hear too many problems with paper poll books, right, because that's the good old-fashioned way. There were some reported issues with glitches on the electronic poll books, but in terms of election day operations, that's really the extent of what the SHORE system does for election day voting. Of course, the SHORE system, every person who requests a mail ballot has to be in the SHORE system as well.
Let's take a look now at what the Department of State is planning to go to, the CIVEX system. Tell us a bit about that company and what you know about it, and are there any concerns with the pending switchover?
The whole reason that Pennsylvania had to issue an RFP in 2024 was because of the 2019 RFP, which led to a $10 million contract in 2020 with a company called BPRO. BPRO failed to meet their marks. BPRO contract was a $10 million contract signed in December of 2020, which was supposed to be a complete replacement of the SHORE system by 2023. There were tons of delays, and ultimately, in December of 2023, Pennsylvania terminated the contract with BPRO. And of that $10 million, I think we were in the hole $1.8 million. We got some money back, but the taxpayers lost $1.8 million on a failed contract with the previous vendor. So now fast forward to 2025, when last month the Department of State announced that they had selected a new vendor, and they had awarded the contract, as you mentioned, to a company called CIVEX. Now, CIVEX is really just a brand name that's given to a group of what they call operating units. The entity involved here is majority owned by a private equity firm out of Indiana called Hammond, Kennedy, and Whitney. And the election technology, and in fact, the contract that they signed, was signed by PCC Technologies, which is a subsidiary of GCR Holdings. You can see it's this whole conglomerate of companies, and CIVEX is just the sort of brand name that they give to it, but again, the contract was signed by this company, PCC Technology. Now, again, because this is a whole bunch of acquisitions and partnerships and agreements and that sort of thing, I would say that my concerns are sort of related to, well, my concerns are related to several things. The first thing is the business background here. So in the RFP, one of the questions that the Department of State asked was kind of, how long have you been in business and what are you doing? Well, their response was that Civix has been providing services for 28 years. Well, Civix was only formed in 2020. I mean, that's the fact of the matter. They were formed in 2020. The acquisitions, there were additional acquisitions in 2021. They acquired or they entered into an agreement with a company called Demtech to get some additional services under their belt. So really, this brand name Civix is pieced together by a bunch of different entities and a bunch of different technologies, and they've really only been around as Civix for 3 or 4 years. So it, claiming in the RFP that they've been doing this for 28 years is a little bit of a stretch, in my opinion, because this conglomeration, the one that Pennsylvania has now agreed to, has been sort of like a patchwork quilt put together over the course of the last, say, 4 years or so.
We have been talking with Heather Honey, who is Executive Director of the Election Research Institute. Heather, tell us a little bit about the Election Research Institute. This is a very involved process and topic. Tell us where folks can go also to learn more.
We are a nonpartisan, nonprofit entity dedicated really to transparency in elections. Our website, if anybody wants to learn a little bit more about what we're doing, is the electionresearchinstitute.org, electionresearchinstitute.org.
Heather Honey of the Election Research Institute. Heather, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.